Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everybody. We are on the air. It is 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're here live with all due respect, with all due respect, the radio show that answers the question, what the hell is really going on? I'm Jim Ellis here on the West Coast. We have Mr. Rick Wright on the East. How you doing there, Mr. Rick Wright?
I'm doing great. I want to know what the hell's going on.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. I just saw the Dalai Lama. He said a few words. There's 25,000 people there. I've heard the words before. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell's going on. But if you figure it out, Rick, you'll tell me, right?
I have not figured it out yet, and I hope I will by the end of this show. How's that?
By the end of the show. Okay, we have an interesting show today. We have a couple of guests, possible guests. It is our Father's Day show. So today is the 16th. Father's Day is June 18th. And we might have a dad or two call in. We do have one guest already on the air that we could bring on in just a moment. I believe he's at an event called the Fatherless Day March. Fatherless Day March. Well, let me just ask you before we get going, what anything you got going for Father's Day, Mr. Rick, before we bring in our guests?
Yeah, my family is actually, we smartened up a long time ago about these going out for Father's Day on Father's Day, where they get, you know, you get the set menu, you get rushed in, rushed out, you know, busy, jam-packed, blah, blah, blah. So I will be celebrating. We usually celebrate the day before, or we might even move it a weekend or two if everybody's schedule isn't jiving. So tomorrow I will be meeting my my family and celebrating Father's Day with a Father's Day lunch at my father's favorite restaurant in Long Branch, New Jersey.
Cool.
And that's my extent. And Sunday I'll just be relaxed, you know, because a lot of people be doing celebrating, and actually will be around to be able to do whatever I want. What are you up to?
Our plan, Jennifer, my wife and I, we're going to, and Hennessy, our dog, of course, on tomorrow. Saturday, we're going to actually, yeah, instead of Sunday, we're going to travel up to Huntington Beach from San Diego. It's about a couple hours, hour and a half drive. Drive up to Huntington Beach, see my dad, take him out to dinner, maybe get a cupcake. Maybe. There's a place up there called Bubba Sweets, like the best cupcakes on planet Earth. Maybe we'll go there. But, of course, he's on the line. He's listening in right now. He's not on the air, but he's listening
okay.
in. So
okay.
we don't want to give too many surprises away. But I think we should just jump into our first guest, bring him on, Josh Jackson and Mr. Fred Ray. They're at something called the Fatherless Day March. And it's in Canada. Let's bring him on right now. Is that Josh or Fred?
Cool.
Who do we got on the line?
You got Josh on the line right now. Nice to meet you guys.
Hey, how's it going,
cool.
Josh?
Welcome.
So
not
what
bad.
Is
yourself?
Actually happening? Yeah, good, good. And what is actually happening right now? I guess the event's taking place right now. What is the event and where are you?
The event's actually over. The event took place from 8 a.m. this morning and ended at 1 p.m. this afternoon. It took place in front of the Halifax Supreme Family Court. And what it was is we had a march in honor of Fatherless Day for all the fathers out there who won't be getting to see their children on Father's Day and are struggling with family court and getting access to their children as well as visitation. So we stood with about 9 other fathers that decided to show up and stand alongside us and get the message heard. And it went really well, actually.
Wow.
Very cool.
What kind of turnout did you have? What kind of turnout was it?
It was a little on the small side, but like many of us know, we're still kind of just starting out here in Canada. Our affiliates in the U.S. are 400,000 people strong, and we're moving up the chain pretty quickly, and we had a better turnout than we were expecting. We had quite a few fathers show up. We had a few people who traveled quite a ways to come and join us at the rally.
Awesome.
That's actually pretty cool. Was it, and can you just elaborate a little bit more about, you know, the state of affairs with, as far as, and it might be different. You're in Canada, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the laws might be different up there, but can you give us just a quick overview of what, like what the laws are and how they treat, you know, fathers in Canada?
Well, it's generalized. It is quite similar to the justice system in the U.S. in that the family courts here in Canada prioritize mother's rights, and fathers are oftentimes cut off to nothing more than weekend visits or like small-time visitation, child support orders.
Okay.
Right. I mean, in fact, I even wrote about this. I have there's a friend of mine, Diana Thompson. She's a woman, and she's very much into father's rights because she sees the fallout. There's a lot of legislation that does go up against men's rights, you know? And so do you think the populace is aware, besides the men that are being, you know, wounded in this experience, I think the populace is very aware of what's going on with men's rights and their inability to see their own children?
Yes, and it's very important to us. I mean, there's men out there taking their lives, and there's men out there self-medicating, and there's men out there that don't get to see their children at all. And we're just trying to take a stand and bring about a change of our family law system here in Canada with the presumption of a 50-50 custody in any given divorce matter.
Right. So shared. So what is the benefit of shared parenting as opposed to, you know, the alternative? What is the benefit of having shared parenting?
Well, the benefit of shared parenting has a lot of statistics speaking for it. Like, children grow up much better having a positive male role model in their life, as well as having equal access to both parents. That way it doesn't seem like the relationship with the father is being cut off or cut short of what they are entitled to have with their father.
Huh.
Right.
Hey, Jimmy,
I was
just going to mention, Josh, I'm not a dad. I'm a furry father, I guess you would call me. I don't have any children. So, and I'm not really sure about the laws down here in the States. But it seems like it's very extreme. Like down here, it seems like, you know, from the most part, from what I get is that they, you know, that there is joint custody or there is, you know, 50-50 custody. Is this something that's like really askew up north?
No, it's definitely a big issue in the States too. Like I said, our U.S. affiliates are 400,000 people strong. These are all fathers and wives and mothers and sisters, people affected by the family court system and fathers being statistically, well, eliminated from their child's life as much as they can.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I've done actually some articles on this through my contact,
yeah,
Diana Thompson. And, yeah, men are, they're not given the equal share. And then actually if a woman or a spouse decides to have a claim that that he hurt the children in any way, just that claim alone can actually preclude the husband from, or the father from, seeing his kids right away. And it's just, and there's no consequence for there's little consequence so far for the false claims, which makes, you know, somebody putting out a claim that a dad has mistreated the kids very appealing. Like, oh, I could just say this and it's okay. So there's a lot that's going on that is hurting men all around maybe the world. So I'm glad there's marches like this and awareness. But let me ask you again, do you think the awareness is growing, or is that not your focus? Is your focus just the laws, trying to change the laws?
Well, it's a little bit on both sides of the fence, right? We are looking very much to get the awareness out here. People need to know what's going on. People need to know how it's affecting fathers, and especially how it's affecting children and families out there. But at the same time, our ultimate end goal is to bring about a change in the family court system that allows fathers to be a part of their children's lives and a healthy, active role model.
Yeah. And is it cool if you talk personally, like, what's your personal story? What has happened to you, and maybe your children as well, if that's the case?
Here, just one moment.
Hey, Jim, it's Fred here. So I will All give right. you my background. So I'm a single father, and I struggle for access with my son. And we have a court order from a different province or a different state, similar to what you guys have in the States there. And I've relocated, and I struggle to have that court document enforced at times. With that, what I mean is that even though it's a legal binding agreement before a judge in courts, in family court, the laws are different compared to, let's say, criminal court or civil court. It comes across as that there's a bias in some ways where if what my partner or my ex-partner and I agreed upon in the court documents, it's not necessarily enforceable. And I find that for my sake, as a father, a single father who's trying to acquire access with my son, I find that very difficult to implement at times.
Right. So this is Fred Ray, by the way, for our audience. You were with Josh at the march, and I think, weren't you the founder, or didn't you kickstart this march, your idea?
Both Josh and I did. Josh set it up on Facebook. He's the tech guy. I'm the guy who inspires people to come on, join on board, and Josh is the one who actually set up the posting for it.
Right. And so I just, it's okay, I just want to feel into the heart of the matter here. Because it's very, you're doing great work. It's hard work. You're putting the energy out there. But can you just talk personally, like we've talked in the past, if it's okay, about the love of your son and then what it's like, to have to be separated through the law system and the court system? Can we just have a little bit of the heart there about, that true experience of fatherhood?
Sure. I became a father late in life, and I told my son's mother when she told me she was pregnant that she was, and I said, I'm here to stay in this relationship. I stayed. Our son was born. I was there when he was born. I was the first person to hold him outside the doctors. I was there for the operations, for his injuries, for his first diaper change. He almost peed on me the first time, so I was there for that. I've been there through, the thick and thin, and I got served a bunch of papers one day, and it emptied my world. I mean, literally, the bottom fell out, and the bottom fell out meaning that I had to go hire somebody to speak on my behalf in a language that I know somewhat of, however, I'm not proficient at. And just to be able to be a part of my child's life. I sold my house. I sold my investments. I sold, anything and everything that I owned in order to try to be a part of my son's life. My son is deserving of that. That's the least I could do for him. From there, I went to court numerous times. I got slowly more access, and it was very big struggle in the sense that started off of reasonable access, a reasonable notice, a reasonable times, which were never reasonable amongst two parties that are not agreeing on certain things. And you can imagine how this is great for certain parties, meaning lawyers or courts. Eventually, I had a trial where my son's mother wanted to relocate to a different area of the country. And I contested it. And within 2 minutes, a decision was made that she could move. And she was awarded certain costs. And I was sitting there looking around, wondering, am I in the Twilight Zone? And within about, I'd say, 6 months of that, I decided to pick up my world, move to a new city where I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a home. All I knew was my son's address. I knew my son's name, and that was it. And for me, that was the main thing that mattered. I'm an immigrant to Canada from England. My parents are from India. And the way I looked at it is my father grew up in a small little village in Punjab, northwest India. If he could move from India to England, from England to Canada, I sure as hell, born in England and living in Canada and university educated, can move from a couple of provinces or a couple of states away. And that's what I've done. I'm in a city right now where I know hardly anybody. I met this fine gentleman, Josh Jackson, aligned with this organization, and we started solidifying a friendship. And I heard his passions about his children, and I realized I'm not alone. You know, this is an ongoing situation that a lot of men don't talk about. And I found a comrade, so to say.
Awesome.
And this
awesome.
Is worthy of speech.
Wow.
Well,
very cool.
I've always felt your dedication to your son, to your dad. So I can't think of a better spokesperson or spokesman for fatherhood, for standing up for men's rights than you. So I'm glad you're out there on the forefront. I'm glad you found Josh Jackson. I'm glad that he was on the show. We're going to shift gears here, but before we do, can you just tell our audience how to get in a hold of you or Josh or your organization? Is there a Facebook page or anything?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. In Canada, if you would like, each province has a page for, it's called the Father's Rights Movement, and what you do is put the province name beforehand. So in Nova Scotia, it's the Nova Scotia Father's Rights Movement. In the United States, it's the same matter. It's a state name and then the Father's Rights Movement. And I'll pass it over to Josh. Perhaps he has some ads for you real quick here. Thanks.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred.
Perfect. And we also do have a main page here in Canada, the Canada Father's Rights Movement. We're definitely open to speaking with people there who are interested in hearing about what we do, what we support, anybody looking for help or support themselves, and anything else we can offer to fathers. And it's all just volunteer work.
Great.
No money involved. We're just completely non-profit, dedicated to helping fathers and families in a situation where they cannot help themselves.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Josh, for obviously not just being on this show for a short time, but doing all the work that you're doing, because I know the work you're doing, just it's for fathers, but it's not just for fathers. It's for sons, daughters, families, communities, you know. It just goes and goes. So thanks for doing what you're doing.
Yes, and thank you very much for having the both of us on the show.
Awesome. Great.
Great. You. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So what do you think, Rick? I mean, you know, we're not dads, but can you imagine just like all of a sudden not being able to see your child when you want to, you know, be with your child? That'd be rough.
Yeah, it's, you know what, it is a shame. And it's, like he said, like what happened, like when the judge, the 2-minute decision, like I can't imagine that feeling because I know how I am. Like I just, like, you know, I would have lost my shit. And then, you know, just if you think about it, like just like that goes on like constantly, like it just constantly goes on. And it's like, you know, it's such a shame how the system works. And, you know, but there's, you know, there's like this society. And again, it's like social media and the way the media reports shit nowadays, it's like, and the way that men, you know, males are just portrayed. It's just, you know, it just, I'm glad that they're stepping up. I'm glad that they're doing what they're doing because I think men need a voice, you know, even as much as like, you know, men don't need a, well, you know, men are, you know, the patriarchy or whatever, you know, whatever they're going to say, whatever narrative, you know, it's like men still need, you know, they need a voice now more than ever. I what I'm going to do is like, I think I'm going to start, I thought this the other day, just like a Facebook page, you know, like with, and just post every time I see an ad or an article where dad is a big buffoon or a guy's just an idiot. It's like, there's, you know, it just, it's amazing what goes on in society and what's acceptable. Can't say certain things about certain groups, but God, man, you can just say whatever you want about males, you know, and especially white males. You know, you just let them have it, and there's no repercussion, and a big laugh, big guffaws, everybody's having a good time. And so, so I'm glad, I'm excited for what they're doing. So,
yeah. So, and then we had the benefit of fathers present for us in our life, and you know, I might even, I don't know about you, but like, take it for granted, like, oh, you know, yeah, that's what life is, a mom and a dad, you know, you grow up and there they are. But some people aren't having that, and so even the children are being wounded. So since we have 10 minutes left, I thought I'd bring on my own dad, since have him on the line.
Nice.
I was going to run by some memories from him, see if he remembers some of these things, some of these moments that popped in my head, and to say happy Father's Day too. So I'll introduce him. His name is James Arthur Ellis. I'm James Anthony Ellis. We have a whole lineage of James A. Ellis's. So I'll just bring him on now. Mr. Dad, hey, Dad, how's it going today?
Okay. I'm hanging on, but I would like to say something about your subject matter. It greatly affects me because I think there's nothing sadder in this life than a fatherless or a motherless child, a family that's broken up. I frankly consider myself one of the luckiest persons in the world, having been married to a wonderful woman. For 4 days short of 60 years, and a fine mother. So excuse me if I'm a little emotional.
Oh, no, that's great. No, it's perfect. I mean, yeah. It's four. So Rick, this is Jim. Jim, this is Rick. Rick, my mom passed 4 days before their 60th wedding anniversary, 2014. And, but yeah, you know, I had that solid family, you know, and I, you know, still got my dad here, so it's great to have you on, Dad. Is it okay to ask a couple?
Mr. Ellis,
go ahead.
Mr. Ellis, thank you for coming on the show, and I just want to say it's a pleasure and an honor to meet you, and thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Let's see. Oh, I wanted to throw some other memories by you, if I could, because I wrote a story about all these memories I had, like, growing up. And I want to see if you remember them and maybe get some other memories from you, Dad. One of them is we had a our family finally went on a picnic. We didn't go to a lot of picnics, but we finally went on a picnic. And it was, we got ready, we got there, and right away, immediately, I decided to run over to look around at stuff. And there was what would be a barbecue. I didn't know it was a barbecue, but I wanted to see what was on top of this barbecue. So I put my hand up on top of it to lift myself up, and it was still burning, scalding hot. And I lifted myself up, and as I did that, I burned my hand, and immediately it was the shortest picnic on record. We had to go home right away. But do you remember that you led me over back to the barbecue? And you lifted me up so that I could see what was on top of it. Do you remember that picnic at all, or that barbecue thing?
Oh yeah, remember it well. Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think your little sister said, "Oh boy, that takes care of the picnic," you know, or whatever.
I think Mary Lynn, my older sister, still upset that we, you know, had to end the picnic so fast. But I remember go ahead. Well, I just was so touched by just the memory that you would actually care enough to, like, you know what? Oh, he wants to know what's on top. So you lift me up. I look down, and it's like, oh, that's nothing. That was not worth it.
Yeah, I remember it.
That's funny. So do you have any, what memories pop into your mind as far as, like,
well, I'll tell you, the memories would be the last 2 weeks in August every year, where we would go to the different amusement parks, when there were many in those days, and I look forward to them as much as you kids. And I remember they were a lot cheaper in those days. And we also went to many sporting events. And I would, if there's anyone from the hockey, L.A. Kings hockey organization listening, we did go to the Miracle on Manchester.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We were at the Miracle on Manchester. Rick, have you ever heard of that? Hockey, 1982 game.
Who was it with?
It was the Kings and the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton Oilers were like, you know, Goliath. The Kings, you know, David. And the Edmonton was even laughing at the Kings. Ha ha, you guys suck. And we were down 5-0. The Kings were down 5-0 going into the third. Again, Edmonton making fun of the Kings, laughing at them. And guess what happened? Oh, yeah, 5 goals in the third period, including the last goal with like 3 seconds to go. And then the Kings won it in overtime. And people doubt that we were there because everyone says they were there. But you just heard it from my dad straight. We were there.
Nice. It's on record. It's on the record. You were there. You know, that's a great story.
And the other thing about, because we go to like the Magic Mountain, we go to SeaWorld, we go to Marineland, we go to Wild Animal Park, like every other day. Or is it every day or like every other day, Dad?
Yeah, every day there was a different place.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And the first time, do you remember what happened the first time at Magic Mountain that didn't happen ever again? Do you remember what happened at Magic Mountain the very first time we went that never happened again? That's kind of a tricky question.
The only thing I can think of, it was an unusually cool day, and it had been very hot just before that. But I guess you'll have to refresh my memory.
I know. It's just one of those personal memories I have. The first time we went to Magic Mountain, everybody in the family went on the big rides. The big rides were Logjammer, Jetstream, and the Gold Rush. Mom, Dad, and the three kids all went on the rides together.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll always remember that, like, oh, we're all on the same ride. This is so great. But then after
I remember that. Yes.
Do you?
Yeah. Yep.
So let's see. What about, Rick, do you have any questions now that you got the two... Ellis,
the two Ellis's on. I like the whole. What's the story behind the J and the A?
The J. What was that again?
James,
well,
A.
First,
all of our lineage.
Yeah, the lineage. It's like there's a James or there's a J, and then the middle initials an A. Because
traditionally, there was always a James and then a middle name A, and then Ellis.
Right.
Wow.
So what was
I guess that's gonna end now, maybe.
Well, we don't know that. What is the what is your dad's middle name?
Arnold.
What's your father's middle name?
My father's middle name was Arnott. Yeah.
Okay.
Mine's Arthur.
Nice. My father's name is Anthony too. So I'm the third actually.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh yeah, Anthony. Yeah.
So your grandfather was Richard Anthony?
It was Richard Anthony, right? Yeah, the first.
Awesome.
Amazing, right?
Yeah. So James A. Ellis. Let me think. Do you remember? I just want another question. Do you remember playing tennis with us? And I think you were wearing your work shoes. Like you came from work and you played tennis with us at Marina High.
vaguely, yeah, that would be very unusual. Yeah, I think I do. Over by Marina. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. By the way, Rick, my dad has an amazing memory, like around like dates and what month was that? Oh yeah, that was 1965. I remember it was May because the leaves, or I don't know, because something happened. Oh, that's the time when I think the Red Wings where he like compares it to like seasons.
He knew that one day that, you know, the weather was cool on that day. It's like, you know, that's a great detail of the day. You know, it was warm, but that day was on the cooler side.
Yeah,
that's a great memory.
I used to have a good memory. It fades with age, though.
But you still, I mean, okay, who was number six on the Detroit Tigers, number six, in 19?
Well, there were several. Pinky Higgins, a third baseman, was number six.
Right. Who's number?
I don't know,
Pinky
Higgins.
No. His grandson hasn't ever heard of him either. But okay, so one.
You want a newer one?
No. Like, okay, 1945, number 10 on the Red Wings.
Number 10.
I'm just going out there.
Oh, I see. I can tell you number 9. I can tell you number 7. I tried to tell. I can't remember.
It was a trick question. It probably doesn't exist. So who's number 9?
Number 9 was Gordie Howe, the greatest hockey player of all time.
There you go.
Oh.
There. You heard it here first on With All Due Respect, number 9, Gordie Howe, greatest hockey player ever. And yes, in 1982, the Ellis family was at the Miracle in Manchester. Let it be known.
Yes.
All right. Well, anything else? Well, I just want to say happy Father's Day. We're going to see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for being on With All Due Respect. It's such an honor to have you on this show. Anything else, Ricky?
Yeah, just Mr. Ellis, happy Father's Day. And just again, like I said, it's just a pleasure to speak with you and be on the show, to have you on the show. So I really appreciate it. Have a great day
tomorrow. Thank you. It was an honor to be on.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Dad. And, we'll see you tomorrow. Peace,
okay.
Everybody. Take care.
All righty.
Bye.